Now, if you can turn back to our Old Testament reading in 2 Samuel and chapter 3. I want you to consider primarily the words in verse 33 in David's lament over what was his adversary, but indeed one that had come to give promise of assistance to make him king over all Israel and to unite the people. And so in verse 33, on learning of his death by Joab, or at the hands of Joab, we're told, "And the king lamented over Abner and said, 'Died Abner as a fool dieth.'" How will you die? Will we die as fools? Or will we die with a most glorious hope? As wise then, if you like. Well, what would constitute a fool and one who would die as a fool? I want to just look at a number of examples from the scripture. This is going to be extremely simple. I hope simple in the sense that we all understand our great need of salvation, of redemption, and see in the various examples perhaps even something of ourselves. We want to die in the Lord. We want to die with a substantial and a real hope, a living hope, the Bible terms it. Not a vague wish that everything will be all right and everything will be okay. Now there has to be substance to our hope. And of course it is a real hope when we come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We have that substantial hope. But David laments and he says, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." Well, what then was it in Abner's death that David was referring to? Well, we don't need to guess or speculate, because if you look at the next verse, he tells us. He says, Abner did die as a fool in effect. But look, verse 34, "Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." And all the people wept again over him. Why did he die as a fool? Well, the great tragedy for Abner, and it could be yours, if we apply this spiritually, is that Abner says David didn't have to die because he had the means and the wherewithal to escape, to fight. "His hands," says David, "were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters." You ought to have been alert, Abner. You're a general. You're commander. Now, unlike our desk-sitting generals of today, these were fighting men. These two men led armies, were renowned for their bravery and their own skills in battle as individuals. Both of them, actually. So why was Abner taken in? David said, "Didn't you know? Weren't there things Abner could have considered? For example, didn't he think that Joab would be wanting revenge for the death of his younger brother? Abner had killed him not long before, albeit again in self-defense. Asahel, Joab's brother pursued Abner, and Abner was running away from the battle. And indeed, he even gave Asahel time to go back. He reasoned with him. He said, "This will end in death for you. Don't come near me. Go away. Go back." But Asahel, it would seem, wanted a great scalp himself. So he came up to engage Abner, and Abner killed him in battle, in self-defense. Well, didn't Abner think then that when Joab wanted to see him, a man already renowned as a soldier, yes, but a rather ambitious and scheming individual. Abner, weren't you thinking? Didn't you use your brain? Couldn't you have considered that this was even a possibility? Couldn't you have kept your distance? Couldn't you have said, "Joab, stay apart. Let's not go for swords or whatever. Just speak to me now." But no, he went, and Joab, arm round the shoulder, and then the knife into the body, and Abner's gone. Abner died as a fool, says David. He was taken in. He had the means. He had the skill, perhaps, in battle to battle. At least 50-50. But not when his hands were down. Not when he wasn't suspecting anything. And Joab has the dagger in his hand already. Well, let's apply it again spiritually. You'll die as a fool if you don't use the means. If you don't consider, if you're not prepared, if you're not ready, and you have the means, you have them at your disposal, you won't die unwarned. You won't die without knowledge, not now. Oh, we might excuse some who've never heard the gospel, who don't know the consequences. Even in our world, there are many unaware of the consequences of dying without Christ. Oh, they may have been taught to put their hopes in something else, some idol, whatever it might be, some philosophy, some vague hope. There's some excuse we might say for them, but look, you'll die as an absolute fool. Having been warned, having been blessed with the scriptures, the witness of Christians, gospel messages, knowing of the cross, knowing of Christ, the great salvation he procures for those who believe and trust in him, you know this. You'll die as an absolute fool if you ignore it, if you reject it, if you don't seize with both hands the opportunity God's placed in his mercy before you. You can seek him now. Oh, every encouragement to come. You know the invitations of Christ himself. Some of you can quote the scripture so clearly and well. Well, will you die as a fool? You will die as a fool, most certainly, if you don't use the means that God in grace and mercy has set before you. It's all there. What more do you need to know? You know you're a sinner. You know you're guilty before God. You know he's infinitely holy. You're not being taught some warped teaching, some other holy book constructed, compiled by men. You know you've got the book of God in your hands. The entrance of God's word gives light. How blessed you are. And remember, this places added responsibility upon you. For to whom much is given, much shall be required. You are so blessed, supremely blessed, to have the gospel of Christ. Well, let me just go through then perhaps some examples, and even indeed some of the reasons why these individuals died as fools. Maybe the same reason you will die as a fool if it's not just the use of the means. Let's consider a few of these people. Who might they be then? Well, let's see. What of fearful Felix? As Paul preached to this man of righteousness, temperance or self-control and judgment to come, Felix shook. Felix trembled. There was a great impact of truth upon the soul of Felix as he heard the word. But what did Felix do? He suppressed that troubled conscience. He died as a fool, at least as far as we know. He shook off, as it were, that spirit conviction. Of course, there are many others, aren't there? I'll come to King Agrippa just presently. But there was Lot's wife. Why did Lot's wife die as a fool? Well, she was wedded to the world. Her pleasures, her life was so married to the world. She couldn't leave it. Why it held her in a vice-like grip. She couldn't give up the world. All her delights, it was too big a give for her. Is that why you too will die as a fool? Didn't she? She had the opportunity. She was out of the city. But the city wasn't out of her, as is often said. That's where her heart was, back there. She had never been converted, never changed. The love of the world, the love of what it offered her, what it gave to her, preoccupied her thoughts, her thinking. Lot's wife, what about Cain? We go back even further. Brother of Abel. Oh, the man that was determined to foist before God his own sacrifice. He would come to God on his terms. Maybe that's why you will die as a fool. No, Abel, his brother, come with the blood sacrifice. Cain come with the presentation of his produce. In effect saying, look what I have done. Here, Lord, I'll come to you my way with my offering. Isn't that what multitudes do and are doing? Isn't that why they will die as a fool? You're determined that God will take you, as it were, on your terms. You're not going to come through blood sacrifice. But I think that's a little bit unfair. Cain, after all, how would he have known? Oh, we believe Cain knew, and it was revealed to him that he must come before God with blood, with a sacrifice. You think Abel dreamt that up? You think Abel, just because he was a keeper of the sheep and the shepherd, that it just was accidental and coincidental, and so he brings a sheep? Why would he slay a sheep in the first place? Unless it had been revealed to him. This is the way you come into the presence of God. You cannot approach him without blood, without a blood sacrifice. But Cain, it seems, was determined to come his own way. How many in our world, multitudes in churches indeed, that are determined to come to God with their own efforts, by their own efforts, their own way. They won't come via the cross. They won't come wholly through Christ and his finished work. Cast their all on him, totally, entirely. No, they want to add works to it, if they include it at all. And you'll die as a fool. For the scripture makes it, patently obvious and so plain, it's Christ only. Christ alone. We must cast our all upon Him, add nothing to Him, subtract nothing from Him, Jesus and Jesus only. Don't die as a fool then. Don't die as a fool, as a King Agrippa. Again, a man that heard Paul preach, but his procrastination cost him his soul. You know the account so well. He preached and he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Have you been almost persuaded? Would that be a good description of yourself? Will you be an Agrippa? Will you die as a fool, having been almost persuaded now to believe? Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded. Harvest is past. Almost persuaded. Doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. He died as a fool, almost persuaded. Why, it's as if he was on the threshold of saving belief, and yet he turns, and he turns away. Will that be you? Have you been almost there, as it were? We might describe you as that, at the threshold itself. As Christ said, thou art not far from the kingdom. That's a description. But for how long will you stay so close before you begin to drift backwards, as multitudes have done? They were almost persuaded. They were Agrippas. Maybe it's just the love of money. I wouldn't think that's true in our small little fellowship and congregation here. But then I don't know. The love of money. Judas died as a fool. So close to the Lord. Walked and observed and heard the Son of God. How was it possible? But you see the power of sin. Oh, waken up. Come alive. Realize what indeed is possible. Realize something of the deceitfulness of the human heart. It truly is desperately wicked. This man saw miracles. Perhaps more than most. Certainly more. He was with the Lord 3 years. He hears him preach. He observed the life of sinlessness and perfection. But he never come to true faith in the very one he was walking with. He died as the ultimate fool. Again, are you so close to Christ as to be almost sense his presence, and yet you're not his yet? No true repentance, no saving faith. Seek him, cry out to him, call upon him. Will you die as a fool? You certainly die as a fool if you die as any of these people did. Oh, look, I've written down here, don't die as a fool. Don't continue to live as a fool. But then I thought of a text. There's a sense you must be a fool. Be a fool for Christ's sake. That is thought of as a fool because you belong to Him, because you trust in Him, because you serve Him, because you love Him, because you believe He died and rose again, because you believe and the world thinks these things utter foolishness, that He is exalted, that He's at the right hand of God, that He's reigning, that He's soon to come bodily, visibly to the skies, and every eye will see Him. Be a fool for all those things. Let the world count you as a fool, but you're the wisest of wise people. Faith in Christ and belief of the truth, belief of the word, believing the gospel, trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Be a fool for Christ's sake. But don't be a fool like any of the others that we have cited. I want to just give you two texts as we close. Revelation 14 and 13, well known, I'm sure, to many, certainly when I quote it, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Die in the Lord, united to Him by saving trust. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Will you be a fool and die outside of Christ, without the Lord, not in the Lord? For there's only one death to die as a wise person, and that's to die in Christ. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, outside of Christ. It's a fool's death. Then secondly, and again, so well known, Psalm 116. Psalm 116. You could probably quote this without turning to it at all. But look, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious. Why is it precious to God? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Who are the saints? Well, they're simply those that trust in Christ. Everyone that does so is a saint. This isn't a super holy person. This is just one with faith in Christ, trusting in Him. Well, says the scripture, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious, why? Precious because they have been led home, because they have been guided home, because they have been kept by the power of God unto salvation. Despite the opposition, despite their fears, despite their worries and their cares and their apprehension, despite the trials and the struggles they endured, and some of them were deep and dark, but every step of the way, God guided them, Christ watched over them, and Christ brought them home. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, for He keeps them. He brings them home. Precious, for this is one for whom God, the Father's Son, died to redeem. Precious in the sight of the Lord. Is there anything more precious outside of his own beloved Son, outside of the Godhead, that it's one for whom the Son of God died and shed his blood, went to the cross, was nailed there, willingly to redeem sinners. Here is another one, come home. My Son, as it were, we might see the Father as saying, or hear him as saying, died for this one. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. For Christ, his Son, died to redeem them. Suffered in great anguish, indescribable agony, that they might be brought home. Precious, for here is one, by the grace of God, who confessed Christ while they lived. Oh, they came to believe in him. They came to trust him. But not only that, they publicly declared, perhaps by baptism initially, but certainly with their lips, that they believe in Christ, that they've trusted him, that they're his. They walked with him. They were partakers, says the apostle, of his sufferings. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. For here's another. Here is one, authentic and genuine, coming home. They bore the reproach of Christ. Perhaps they were mocked, scoffed, ridiculed, rejected, even by their own family, because they came to faith in Christ. But precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. By his grace, you see, they walked. You'll be a fool if you live and die without Christ, without confessing him, without belonging to him, without trusting in him. This is the death of the wise, those believing in the Savior. You know, there are so many others. I've overlooked so many. Pontius Pilate died as a fool. Why? Because he was a moral coward. Basically, simply put, he was a coward. He wanted what he had. He couldn't bear to be removed from it. He couldn't bear to think of people not accepting him. His status, he was governor, would cost them something. He was a coward. He washed his hands. What about the Pharisees? Let's take them en masse. Died multitudes of the Pharisees as fools. Why? Well, because they were clinging to church. Charity. Charitable deeds. Their own self-righteousness. Traditions, rituals, and rites. How many are dying as fools doing exactly that? No. Come to the Savior. Come to the Lord. Use what God has so graciously given you, the opportunities that you have. Here's another one. Living, breathing, hearing, having seen in the Bible, having had the Word of God quoted, knowing you're a sinner, believing you're lost, what keeps you back? Why wait? Why do an Agrippa? Almost persuaded. Why procrastinate? Why delay? That's the devil's gospel, is wait, postpone, hold back a little longer. Wait till you know a little more And when you get that little more, wait till you know a little more will still be the whisper. You know enough. If you know you're lost and you're a sinner, rightly condemned, and you know Christ alone can save you. That's all essentially you need. Be convinced that you're a sinner and look to Christ. Abner, says David in his great lament, you died as a fool. Oh, he had great respect. This one-time enemy, yet David could admire him and respect him. He would say later, speaking of Joab, that he slew, thinking of Abner, that he slew men more honorable than himself. Joab was a hard-nosed, ambitious, scheming individual. David never forgot that. Though he was his general, he was a brilliant soldier. But his lament for Abner, his respect for Abner, died Abner as a fool dieth. You didn't have to, Abner. Not the way that you did, you know. I wonder if we'll be standing. Oh, I trust not. Will we be standing at your grave? Or in a little service for you? And we're saying, he, she died as a fool. How often he or she heard the gospel? How many times did they come to the little church? How many gospel messages did they hear? How many different preachers over the years came and reasoned and persuaded and warned to flee from the wrath to come, but they died without Christ? Don't die as a fool. Come to the Savior.